All right, welcome back again. This is our seventh session in a series of workshops on the 12 traditions. My name is Daniel. I'm an addict. In response to our needs assessment, we have organized these sessions and hope to continue to do it once per month to cover each tradition over the course of 12 months. We say that we hope to because this is dependent on how it is received and attended. So tell your friends, tell your home group, tell your sponsees, tell your sponsor. To come join us here each month. We plan to be consistent with the fourth Thursday of each month. Obviously not tonight because of Christmas being next week. So, but next month we will return to our regularly scheduled fourth Thursday on January the 22nd. Let's go ahead and open this meeting with a moment of silence followed by the Serenity Prayer. Feel free to unmute and join in. Thank you, God. Grant me your serenity to accept the things I
Things I
cannot
cannot
change,
change,
courage to
courage to
change things
change
I
things I
can,
can,
and the
know
wisdom
the
to know
wisdom
the
to know the
difference.
difference.
Can I get somebody to unmute and read the 12 traditions, please?
I'll read them. I'm Vicky. I'm an addict.
Hi, Vicki.
We keep what we have only with vigilance. And just as freedom for the individual comes from the 12 steps, so freedom for the group springs from our traditions. As long as the ties that bind us together are stronger than those that would tear us apart, all will be well. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends on NA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for membership is a desire to stop using. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters of affecting other groups or NA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry the message to the addict who still suffers. Six, an NA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the NA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, or prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Seven, every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Eight, Narcotics Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Nine, NA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Narcotics Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues, hence the NA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, and films. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all our traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Understanding these traditions comes slowly over a period of time. We pick up information as we talk to members and visit various groups. It usually isn't until we get involved with service that someone points out that personal recovery depends on NA unity, and that unity depends on how well we follow our traditions. The 12 traditions of NA are not negotiable. They are the guidelines that keep our fellowship alive and free. By following these guidelines in our dealings with others and society at large, we avoid many problems. That is not to say that our traditions eliminate all problems. We still have to face difficulties as they arise. Communication problems, differences of opinion, internal controversies, and troubles with individuals and groups outside the fellowship. However, when we apply these principles, we avoid some of the pitfalls. Many of our problems are like those that our predecessors had to face. Their hard-won experience gave birth to the traditions, and our own experience has shown that these principles are just as valid today as they were when these traditions were formulated. Knock it off! Sorry, my dogs are fighting. Our traditions protect us from the internal and external forces that could destroy us. They are truly the ties that bind us together. It is only through understanding and application that they work.
Thanks, Vicky. Can I get someone to unmute and read this excerpt from It Works How and Why?
Sure. Tradition 7. Every NA group ought to be fully self-supporting.
declining outside contributions. The group's decision to become fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, reflects the group's sense of responsibility for itself. In recovery, we discard the illusion that the rest of the world is responsible to take care of us. Rather, we take due pride in caring for ourselves. Individually, we demonstrate our newfound maturity by accepting the weight of our own burdens. Collectively, we demonstrate our maturity by accepting responsibility for our group, neither seeking nor accepting outside contributions. Tradition 6, it works how and why.
I was supposed to say tradition 7. Somebody screwed that up.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Can I get somebody to unmute and read this section from Guiding Principles?
I'm Ben Teen. I'm an addict.
Hi, Ben.
From the first meeting we attend, many of us know this is the money tradition, setting the foundation for our financial practices. However, Tradition 7 is not about much more than money. Tradition 7 is a key to our unity and independence. Self-support ensures that our message stays clear and true, that we remain uncompromised and unaffiliated. The commitment to self-support is challenging, and we grow in the process of meeting it. Self-support is closely linked to the idea of self-determination. We are free to make our own decisions and set our own course. Our freedom is too valuable to be measured in money, and yet having enough money to cover our expenses is part of how we maintain our freedom. If anyone outside of NA supports us, they would inevitably end up with influences or control. This is our fellowship. We support it. We are responsible for it and to it, and we determine what Narcotics Anonymous stands for. As a fellowship, we pay our own way, write our own literature, carry our own message, and work our own program. No one else has control or influence over our message. It is not stubbornness or pride that keeps this commitment strong. It is the knowledge born of hard experience that compromise on this principle consistently ends in disaster. Our history is full of moments when we confront this choice every time. Just a second. Our survival has depended on our willingness to stand firm. Our commitment to self-support sends a unique and compelling message to the outside world as well. The fact that we are self-supporting changes the nature of the conversation we are with the public. We have with the public. We are not seeking donations or grants. We are not asking for anything but a chance to care and share them in a way. We offer a message of hope with no strings either for the addict who suffers or for the institution in which we cooperate. In this way, Tradition 7 is closely related to the guidance offered by Tradition 6. Self-support is one of the many ways we avoid affiliations. Through self-support, we demonstrate our commitment to each other. The work that we are able to accomplish through our voluntary contributions is remarkable. We have grown from a few groups to a worldwide fellowship. Narcotics Anonymous thrives in countries all around the world, and our literature is available in many languages because addicts have been willing to give freely and serve selflessly. Addicts get clean, experience recovery, and find new ways to live in Narcotics Anonymous in big cities, small towns, and rural areas. In well-established NA communities and in fledgling groups, when we step back and look at Narcotics Anonymous as a whole, the view is breathtaking. Guiding Principles, Tradition 7.
Thanks, Ben. Okay, this is a 90-minute session, and we'll have our speaker, Matt M. from Strong City, share his experience with Tradition 7 for about 20 to 30 minutes. After he is done sharing, we will open the meeting for others to share. You can share on your experience, or if you have questions, you want to post to the group, you may also share them or put them in the chat, and maybe someone else can share their experience and response. Remember, part of sharing is sharing the time, so please be mindful and keep your sharing to 3 to 5 minutes. I'm going to go ahead and stop screen share here. You know, I met Matt when he first started coming to Region, probably many years ago now. I have no idea when, but probably he's RCM or being drug around anyway, but, you know, and so, yeah, Matt's kind of taken on a role of the money guy at the RSC because he's been our treasurer. He's been our oversight guy. So, you know, I trust that hopefully at least has some understanding of Tradition 7 is going to share it with us tonight. So with that, I'll let you take it away, Matt.
Thanks, Daniel. I'm Matt and I'm an addict. Well, I was asked to speak on Tradition 7, so here I am. You know, I find myself getting caught up in day-to-day life and in the life that Narcotics Anonymous has given me, you know, and slowly NA becomes, you know, like less of a priority, you know. Like tonight, I have one kid playing basketball. I have two kids wrestling in Rossville. You know, laundry to do, food to cook, on and on and on. So when I was asked to do this, I looked at the calendar and I saw those events, you know, and I made the decision that I was going to be here tonight, right? Because, you know, a lot, I don't know, I've realized, you know, it's so easy to get caught up and forget, you know, where we came from. And you know, when I got here, my kids weren't far away from being on a path that I was paving for them to where I, you know, I they wouldn't have had the father to show up to 95% of their events and provide abundant opportunities for them, you know, and things like that. So anyway, that's enough of my soapbox. You know, I still have to justify and rationalize and all those things. So I just wanted to kind of get that out of the way more for me than for anybody else. So anyway, I think I've had a pretty basic understanding of Tradition 7 since day one. You know, it's spelled out pretty simple and it's pretty easy to read, you know. I don't know. What I didn't realize was that it's more than just taking money, more than not taking money from people outside NA and that sort of thing, you know. Most of what we learn is from our predecessors, you know. So I've always found it you know, important for me to surround myself with those people. You know, and by those people, I mean people that are involved in service through sponsorship, group positions, area positions, region positions, so on. You know, those are people that taught me early on things that, you know, I hadn't really thought about, even as basic as I just stated that it seems that this tradition is. You know, they're the ones that mentioned that when family members are there to support us on birthday night, you know, they shouldn't be putting money in the basket, you know, unless they're an addict, of course, members, I should say, you know, little things like that, you know, they shouldn't come to a meeting with a $6 or $7 coffee and not put a dollar in the basket, you know, things like that. So, but also, they're also the ones that told me that it's not my place to determine, you know, what that person needs to be putting in the basket. You know, it's not my place to judge that person that's coming in with a $6 coffee and never putting any money in the basket, right? So all we can do is lead by example, and that's what my predecessors have done for me, you know. So I don't know. Over time, I started paying a little bit. I'll say a little bit more, but I've paying more attention, to traditions, and I've learned a little bit more about them. So, I think probably coincided with the announcement that there was a traditions book coming out. Maybe, I don't know, but anyway, diving into the seventh step, I made some notes, but I think one of the main things I want to focus on probably is the principles, because that's how I understand and how I learn these traditions and everything in NA from the beginning, really is breaking it down to the principles. So I'm not gonna get on a soapbox about the Guiding Principles book, but it is a really good book if you don't have it. And I assume it probably everybody in this workshop probably has that book by now. But I think it's important for groups to practice Tradition Seven, to have a good understanding of it and have people that are in it. That's how healthy groups are made or grown. Healthy groups, they show up consistently and build unity. They pay their rent, support area and region. And I'm not going to get on my soapbox there yet, but how we need to support the service structure. Those healthy groups, they aren't relying on just one or two people to take care of everything, right? And it's not about just about the money you're putting in the person puts in the basket. It's about showing up and being of service and all the other ways that we do, the through sponsorship and being that person that's here to walk beside the newcomer that comes in so that they can grasp some of these traditions early on instead of later on. Sorry. Some of the principles, I guess, that we talked about, gratitude. Gratitude's a big one, that we learn and we get a deeper understanding. And this is another area that we can find gratitude is through giving, and through the seventh step. And sorry, that phone really threw me off there. Anyway, back to let me back up a little bit. Catch myself. I'm sorry. All right. Let's just keep it simple here. Let's start with the self-support, right? So as I stated a little bit there already, that's the self-support is the one of the most important principles. It's so that we that's how the strong groups are our strong groups are made. We don't want to have there's a reason we don't have drug court and churches and other outside entities supporting us, because then we lose our autonomy and we start to take on identities of that aren't our own, right? And we lose sight of the principles and traditions, so I think that's the one of the main principles. I guess the first principle when you think about it is the self-support, not relying on anybody other than us, other addicts. And as time goes on, a lot of these same principles. I was thinking about this earlier today, and many of these principles, they go right over into my daily life, because I always look at how, not just how NA and these traditions and stuff relate to Narcotics Anonymous, the group, and so on, but how they relate in my life. And my life is completely shaped by the principles that I've learned in NA. I'd heard the words before, but until I got here and really, really decided to be a part of, I didn't really know how to apply any of them, And so the self-support one, it goes right on into sorry, I've got to answer this. Oh, I'm so sorry. No, I don't. He's okay. Anyway, back to the kids scattered everywhere, making sure that they have rides where they're supposed to be gone. But anyway, so the self-support thing, it really it flowed into my life personally, and in ways where, as I think about it, it's easy to find ourselves early in recovery. For me, I had a lot of support from family, and things were, I won't say given to me on a platter, but there were things that happened in my life that allowed me to make it to a lot of meetings and to really be super, super involved, and if we aren't careful, we start to think that we're owed those things, or that, that we deserve those things. And so I think standing on our own feet in Narcotics Anonymous and not accepting outside resources has played into my life and forced me, not forced me, but made me become more dependent and to take pride in those things, and not just having it given to me, but at the same time, got to have humility and another principle that we learn, have humility to know that sometimes you need to have that help, right? So, man, I was so prepared to talk to you guys tonight, and I'm just like tripping over myself terribly bad. I think one of the biggest things really that I think about when I think about being self-supporting is again, going back to those lessons that I learned early on. It started simple for me, like why can't my mom, who's never come to my birthday night, but put money in the basket? Why aren't we taking all the money that we can get, right? And the longer I've been here, and the problems that we, not problems that we have, but money's something we always talk about, especially as you get further up in service, and when you're listening to the things that are going on at the region level and at the world level, like money is always the problem. We don't have enough money to do a convention. A convention loses money, and this and that, anyway, just I get a lot of gratitude when I think about it. But let me go to some of the things that are important with regard to groups and Seventh Tradition. Think about having a good treasurer, transparent treasurer, good record keeping. All those things are how you build those strong groups through the Seventh Tradition. But Sorry. I am gonna die. I think one thing is probably tripping me up here is not just diving straight into earlier. So when we talk about money and the money matters, it's important at all levels. And I think about, I've been on a soapbox several times at Region here lately, over my area and different things. And back to the self-supporting thing. When you think about, I'm going to give an example because I think that's the best way to go here. A Region provides insurance for all the groups and ever in our region, right? In the areas and all the events and everything that they do. And that is the large part, the biggest part of our expenditure at Region. And so being self-supporting from a group level is sending the money to that we can to area so that it can then go on to Region to help support these services that are being provided for us, right? And so I get hung up on that at times, right? It really, because it's my area, I feel like I have the right to shout it from the rooftops, but the other part of that is also, it isn't just about the money. It's about, as I stated earlier, what my predecessors have taught me. You've got to be willing to have those conversations and educate people as well, right? You can't just get mad about it and throw a fit and say this is how it should be. You have to have patience and tolerance and utilize some of those things and show up. And I haven't shown up to my area. I've expected the people from my area that are at Region to relay my message, and I'm sure maybe they have, but again, that is one area where clearly I'm able to admit that I fall short. I have fallen short, right? So self-supporting, you can, it whether it's at the group level, the area level, the regional level, or in our own life. The self-supporting aspect of it, that's the basis of it, right? So we go into sometimes we also have to make sure that events and parties, if you will, everybody talks about, don't become more important than the meeting and passing the basket as well. That's you see that happen and you hear stories about that happening, but prudence, there's a principle. Maybe somebody can elaborate on that later, a little bit more, but I'll just there's always an argument to be had, but we have these things called prudent reserves, right? And where we decide how much money we're going to keep back for rainy days, but you can take that further. I mean, it isn't just about the prudent reserve, it's about being prudent with regards to what events you do have, not just willy-nilly things, and always the simplest part is always keeping the addict is still out there. Like anytime we're doing those events, I think sometimes it's lost. The people lose what we're trying to do and who it's for, and so anyway, I was going to dive deep into prudence, but I'm not going to. So, commitment, that's another big one, committing to committing to the group. I've learned a lot through through my time no, I'm not gonna go there. Man. Well, you know what? I really feel like I'm just being stared at here by a whole bunch of people. And I've really kind of lost myself and lost track here. So, yeah, there you go, Vicky. Let me see if I can just grab something and get myself back on track. I'm so sorry.
You're doing great, Matt. We really appreciate you.
Oh, boy. You know,
don't mind me over here. I'm taking notes.
Yeah, I bet you are. So thinking about, I guess just backing up to the spirit of it, of the whole tradition. I'm moving back to kind of the beginning because it's one of the big ones for me. I guess I think about, and because it's where I learned it. The thing early on that I talked about, where my predecessors told me they can't put money in the basket, right? You know, that simple thing there, once I really asked the question why, that's how I started to understand more. That's why we don't take money from drug courts. That's why we don't take money from all those from other outside entities, because the autonomy that we build as a group sometimes it's difficult enough as it is without other outside influences, right? And I think that's what's so unique and so great about Narcotics Anonymous. It's the fact that we don't do that. You know, we don't if we're getting rent for free, we find ways to give back, to at least pay our way, and however that is, you know. And when you see groups that are strong and healthy financially, it gives off a you can feel it when you're in a meeting, you know, when you're in meetings with groups that you can tell take care of their money, take care of things, pass money on to area, you know, relay their messages to get it on to region, so on and so forth, you know. So that's one of the biggest ones for me. I'm gonna go ahead and stop right there for now, and I'm gonna share a little bit more once we get into the open part when I collect myself a little bit more. I apologize. I've been super distracted. I feel I'll be pretty good now that my young basketball star just walked in the door and I know that he's home safe. So anyway, I'm going to go ahead and pass it to you guys.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt. That means we will now open the meeting to hear from others. If you would like to share, please use the raise your hand button on the toolbar to be recognized to speak. I want to remind everyone again to be mindful of your time. Rod's got his hand up, so we'll go right to Rod.
Thanks, Daniel. Well, the first thing I want to say is, Matt, you need to turn your speaker off for a minute. Because, you know, when Matt was talking about the guiding principles and studying the traditions and looking at the traditions, each tradition and guiding principle has a section called the member. And a lot of those questions in there pertain to not just our responsibility to our groups and maintaining that and putting money in the basket, but also support for our family, support for our loved ones. That to me is part of that seventh tradition also, in the fact that it's taking care of my responsibility. I'm always a big one for talking about cleaning up outside, being cleaning the outside of the meeting hall so you don't have cigarette butts flying everywhere, and people walking by don't look at it like it's a trap house. That's just as important as putting money in the basket. Don't get me wrong, putting money in the basket is a huge thing, because without that, it makes it hard for us to carry the message. If you don't keep the doors open, if you don't pay the light bills, you can't keep the meeting open and all that too. So those are just as important, but I think that sometimes we forget that being thoroughly self-supporting means more than just putting money in the basket. It means putting money in the basket and being responsible for our actions and our, what I want to call it, the how the public sees us. So that's all I got. You can turn your speaker back on, Matt.
Thanks, Rod. Chris, you had your hand up, but you took it down. Did you change your mind?
Yeah, Rod already pretty much said what I was going to say. So, the thing for me, the very first time I worked traditions with my sponsor I had at the time, it was with my family. We took Narcotics Anonymous completely out of it. And he said, first thing you're going to do is you're going to get a job and you're going to come become responsible for your own household. That type of stuff. And then we wove in, the integrity that goes along with that, and was teaching the kids that it's your responsibility to clean your room. That's part of the seventh tradition inside the household. But Rod had pretty much said everything I was going to say.
Thanks, Chris. There's not very many people on the screen, so don't be shy. I'll start calling on people. Hi, Danny.
Hi, guys. I'm an addict. My name's Danny B. I just have more of a question. I don't claim to know shit about the seventh tradition. I'm definitely learning more and more about it. So my question, in the longest, most complicated way I can think to articulate it, is specifically these examples, like in my home group, my previous home groups in my area, there's this like stigma, if you will, directly related to the money things, right? Like we don't think that as an area we should have to, you know what? No, I think that they like don't have as much of an issue wrapping heads around as an area. If a group reached out then and needs this financial assistance, right, to pay the rent, to buy literature, to do whatever, then we as an area, we're going to do what we can to help them. But it's the service past that, the region. It's what do they need my money for? Like they do all these things, and things that I have learned are that events specifically are there's fundraisers held for those. Like we're not sending Seventh Tradition down the line and then spending it on coffee at the convention, you know? So I understand that, and the insurance is such a big one too. Like that's a really big deal that I guarantee you, like most of the area is not aware of, right? So what are some other ways to paint this picture to help groups understand why it's important not to hoard that money in our account? 'Cause like, what if, you know, like we set up prudent reserves and even those are outlandish. But trying, like, tell me in a different way, or a variety of ways, why it is important that my money go to down the service line, down the structure. Because I think that if they want to have an event, they can pay for it them damn selves. You know, like that's the mentality that we're met with because we are uneducated. Like we're not showing up in large numbers to get this information. Like these this tradition study, this is a direct like product of the regional inventory, correct? Yeah. And that was a discussion I recently had with a group of addicts. Like, why are they doing that? We don't even want that. And I was like, I think that we do because we asked, and this was one of the things. So that's my mentality. That's where I'm coming from. I'm stubborn and I don't want to give you my money. So tell me why I should. Make it make more sense, if you will. That's all. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Danny. Tanya's got her hand up.
Hi, everyone. My name's Tonya. I'm an addict. Can you hear me okay? Because I'm not sure I'm unmuted.
Yeah, we can got you.
Okay, I'm driving and I'm kind of in the boonies, so if I break up, I apologize. I don't have an answer to Danny's query, but I also have more questions along that line, and I would like to hear from those who have more experience, you know, longer experience with the money issue. I'm a part of some Facebook groups that, you know, I hear a lot of chatter online about money issues between, you know, WSO and between NAS and, you know, just all kinds of opinions, you know, about how money is spent, how money is acquired and stuff. And my question is, in my experience of Narcotics Anonymous and the structure of Narcotics Anonymous and my understanding, is that, you know, the pyramid is such that, you know, the groups and the area and the region have a hierarchy. So, I mean, I don't think that's the right word, but like a, you know, a flow or something in the sense that, you know, the groups are like the highest level, so to speak, you know, the foundation, I mean, the highest level of the Narcotics Anonymous structure. And so, and at the same time, that's, well, because of literature, I guess it's not where the bulk of Narcotics Anonymous funding comes from. But, you know, if it was where the bulk of it comes from, I'm not clear about. And I really want to be educated on this because I'm not clear about sending money on to areas sending on money to regions and zones when groups are suffering from issues that could be addressed by greater funding. You know, when groups have situations where, you know, maybe they need, you know, a better meeting hall that could be acquired with, you know, more money, or maybe areas have groups that are struggling that could be addressed with transportation funds or outreach, or, you know, I know that, for instance, sometimes service positions seem almost like, I wouldn't say a luxury, but, you know, people who are like seriously economically challenged, like most of us are when we are in early recovery, really don't have the opportunity to be of service at the same level that somebody who has really stable and a larger income has, because a lot of our service positions require that stuff comes out of our own pockets. You know, I know in my service positions, even at the group level, I spend money out of my own pocket for things, and I'm not sure that that's avoidable. I mean, if for instance, if you're going to area, you know, or if you're going to region, even if you're an RCM and you get some or all of your accommodations paid for, you're still going to be paying out of pocket, you know, for your food, you know, for a lot of that weekend, you know, just and your gas money to and from, unless your area is supporting that as well. And I think some areas do, but so my question is I was under the impression that region is there to support the areas are there to support the groups. And so sometimes I think that requires funds, you know, that as a form of support. And so I would see it as going, and I understand that insurance is, you know, an issue, that's one thing, that's a big thing, but I think that there's other things too. So just please, I want to hear from others about that particular question and topic. So thanks for doing this. I love these Zooms. I'm so glad we're having them, and I'm really glad to have the opportunity.
Thanks, Tanya. Chris, you wanna?
Hey, Tanya.
You're muted, Chris, if you're trying to share.
I'm an addict named Chris. Pardon me. I'll let some other ones jump in on several topics that were touched on there. But I know my area, we just had our meeting Sunday, and one of the groups in our area was asking for money for some literature, so we shoveled some money over literature, and a question was asked kind of on the side, hey, what's your rent running? And we found out what that was. A motion was made to pay 3 months rent for this group, you know, because that's what we need to do, you know, and that's why that seventh tradition money comes in. I know that our area, now they don't anymore, but at one point for a long time, when our business meeting was over, the only thing we could have in the bank account was $1 to keep it open. And then you'd add the prudent reserve of what we came up with, because all money was to be spent. We would divvy it up whichever we go, you know. And, you know, that's where that seventh tradition money comes into hand, because, you know, for an area, we're supposed to, you know, look out and, you know, and help that group out. You know, nobody wants to see a group fold. You know, I don't know about other areas, but I know our area has a certain amount. It's a percentage that we send up the region. And somebody was talking about, you know, expenses. Our area also has built into the budget the expenses to be covered for that our you know, RSC to go up to. And, you know, that all takes money, you know, and, you know, that's, you know, the bottom two tiers of that pyramid, you know, and it's, know, there's, like Matt had mentioned, there are so many ways to apply the seventh tradition that is not monetary. And so, you know, I'll kind of bow out, but some wiser individuals talk about that.
Thanks, Chris. I'm Daniel Manaddict. So I'll talk about some money stuff. You know, and I love that we always, when we talk about the seventh tradition, we always talk about how self-support can be expressed in so many different ways. But God damn it, that's not, you know, like, don't use that as your scapegoat to say, oh, but I, you know, I cleaned an ashtray in 1987, so now I don't have to do anything and I can put 50 cents in the basket once a week. Because it does take, it takes human resources. Yes, absolutely. You know, we need people to do stuff. We are lacking in people to do stuff. Just know that even if you're not doing it, somebody else isn't either. You know, like, you know, a lot of times people think, you know, somebody else will take care of it. And I'm telling you, somebody else ain't there. They ain't hanging out. They ain't taking service positions at region. They aren't taking service positions at your area. They aren't around. They aren't in my home group either. But money, like, I think about my household a lot when I think about the traditions. And I think about, like my home group is my home. It is that word is in group, in my home group, you know, and I think about, do I want people to make decisions for my home and not involve me? And that answer is no. You know, so I show up to the business meeting, I participate in my home group, I make sure that, you know, I'm there to be of service, and I put money in the basket to make sure that the bills are paid, right? I make sure, you know, that we can afford coffee and those types of things. And I have, you know, I probably don't give the most in my home group, but I have a budget and I know how much I give to my home group every month. And I make sure and do that, whether I'm at those meetings and in that chair or not. Thankfully, I can make it up at the end of the month and give it on Cash App or whatever. But I give to my home group, and I give the most to my home group, you know, out of all the things that I donate my money to, the most of my money goes to my home group. And I want to know that, like, we're self-supporting, right? I want to know that we're doing the things that we need to do. And my home group is struggling in that area right now and has been all year. My home group has, you know, the bills are paid, you know, our rent's paid, our coffee's taken care of. We buy books every month. We give away, you know, we sell basic texts for $5. We give away plenty of literature, you know, we give away key tags and medallions, and all that stuff costs a lot of money. And, you know, we're doing it all. But my home group hasn't given to area, hasn't given to region, hasn't given to World Services since like January of this year. And I posed that question to them. I said, you know, are we really self-supporting when these meeting lists that we write our phone numbers on for these newcomers every time there's a newcomer in a meeting, we don't buy those. Those aren't paid for by us. Those are paid for by the area. You know, the insurance that if somebody fell outside and broke their leg, you know, insurance would cover that because the region has insurance. But we haven't donated any money to region to cover our portion of that. You know, and so we often think that we're self-supporting just because there's, you know, coffee in the coffee pot, or that there's, you know, the rent's paid, but there's these things that we can't physically see that directly affect our group, you know, that are being taken care of because all my group's supposed to do is make sure that the door's open and there's a message to be heard of Narcotics Anonymous. You know, the rest of the service structure is supposed to take care of all those other things, and I'm supposed to give my time, my group's money to that service structure to help do the things that I think it should do to help me. You know, whether that's H&I meetings to the treatment center, whether it's public relations efforts at a some sort of symposium, or if it's, maintaining a website, a phone line, printing meeting lists. All those things are things that I as a member sat in my group one day and said, let's make sure the area is doing these things, and we want the area to do these things. And so how are they going to do those things if we don't support them in the ways to get it done? And by all means, like I have a home group that at Tuesday night meetings, there's 35 to 40 addicts in it. Even if only 10% of those went to area, we'd have a great time at area. Like there'd be, but we got like two people that go to area from our home group, and that's just one meeting, one night of the week, And so, unfortunately, it takes money to do all the things we want to do. It takes money, and I can't personally, I can't call my attorney, right, and say, it'd be really nice if you'd, rework my will for me, and then I don't pay him to do it, right? Like that's kind of like the thing that I think of is like I can't expect myself to receive services from from another place without paying my way to get it done, without paying for my share of it, or whatever it takes to get it done. So, I think I could probably give you 1,000 different directions to understand that. I think, if anyone struggles with understanding where the money goes, they're not paying attention, because the information is there. If you want to read the minutes from your area, you could probably contact your GSR or your RCM and get a copy of the minutes from the area meeting. Same with the region. The minutes are posted online eventually. And if you want to know more about World Services or Zone, those things are there too. You can go to na.org/AR and read annual reports from now and all the way back to 2000, I think, is what's posted on there, 1998. Plenty of information to read. Probably most of the time, I don't even know that I understand all of it. When it gets into the weeds and some of those older annual reports, but the information is there, and you can understand how things work and how stuff operates. And man, I am always willing to talk to anybody, especially anybody from our region, if they have questions about what the region does with its money, or I know that we have these wonderful conventions and campouts and retreats, and they are all pretty much fully self-supporting. They don't have to ask for money from the region. Some of them do fundraisers, or they all do fundraisers usually to kind of help get them along the way they need to go, but then they always turn money over to region most of the time. But I tell you what, man, one convention fail, and they only turn over $1,000 or $500, or maybe need bailed out on a bill, which recently happened to a convention not too far from here. And I mean recently, I'm not talking about Topeka 27 years ago or whatever it was. Recently, like they needed bailed out by their own area. So, it happens. It's real easy to run afoul there, and next thing you owe the hotel $5,000, and there goes our insurance payment for the next 6 months to a year, right? For the region, and or our rent, or and we'd have to move those wonderful archives to some cold cement block storage shelter or storage unit. So I could go on and on and on, but I'll stop there and let Tim talk. Thank you, guys.
I'm Tim, and I'm an addict. Part of the problem of this is we're sitting here preaching to the choir. the same people that suit up and show up on a more regular basis, you know. And usually the people who sit here and they say, we want this, and here all of a sudden you have 25 to so people out of thousands in the state of Kansas that are showing up, learning from each other time and time again about our finances, about our whatevers, you know, about how the service structure works, about all this stuff. And then the people who say they want it don't ever show up, you know, and it makes it tough, you know. The only one we got, and Danny shows up, you know, she shows up and suits up and she's doing what she needs to do and trying to become educated, you know. And I've seen that because the last several times I've been here, or anywhere she's at, she's asking questions. And I don't know if I have any of the answers other than what I've heard, but there's a lot of things that, like our region, you know, we've been, like Daniel said, you know, we struggle with health, you know, and I'm part of the problem right now. You know, I'm taking a sabbatical from some service in the lowarchies. I'm doing service in a different direction for a while, you know. But either way, but probably there's nobody there. I hope there's somebody there to take my place of the things that I was doing, because nobody can do my job if I don't get out of the way. But that's a tough one. But, you know, our money goes to the money that we send on to our region or so on. And in the last year, and this meeting here become part of, this is part of the solution of making our region more appealing, because people are like, well, you got all this money and you don't do shit with it. So, you know what? The process has started a year and a half or so, or 2 years ago, when all this shit come down the deal about managing our money. The conversations start getting had, but the people who raise hell about it, they just come up and run their mouth and raise hell, and then they go away. They don't sit there and realize, you know, and it's what come out of that too. You know, Tonya stepped up to the plate. She's up at region doing some service from our area, you know, so that's a good thing. It's got somebody else interested, but people come in, raise a little bit of hell. Then they just go away, and the shit pot stirs, and they don't see the work that gets done. And the people, the same 25 people that try to be the solution, you know. And the only way that I can figure this out is it's a sponsor thing, you know. And we touch a lot of people, and we talk about stuff like this, you know. And we try to teach, or try to share about what we believe or what we think or how the structure works. And hopefully our sponsees, you know, it works in my deal, you know, Matt's in service, Matt's carrying the message to his sponsees, and so on and so forth. And evidently that's the only way we have to get the message of the importance of how much it costs, and especially today. It costs a lot of money to do nothing. And then you start doing something, you know, and then it really costs. So I don't know what the solution is. You know, I don't know how to convince somebody, but, you know, we're putting some literature into some Wichita jails last year. I know that because one of the Wichita areas asked for some money to buy some literature. And that went to the jail. So that's where some of that money goes. Some of that money a year or so ago, and I think went to P3. That put some literature in prisons around the three or four state area. We go to World with money, and that helps to pay for literature, or maybe not literature, overseas, you know, in other countries. And other stuff like that, are people who are way less fortunate than we are. You know, I can buy my own literature. I can pay for my trips. I can do what I need to do. But there's people out there that can't. And you know, and this is, we're paying the drug tax today. That's what we're doing. And then we're sending it down our government level to help people out. I mean, that's just saying the things that people don't want to hear. So, I don't know. I will shut up. Every day's a good day, man. So.
Thanks, Tim. Rod?
So I am an addict. They call me a shit stirrer. No, what I wanted to answer, Danny, you know, one of the things that this year has come about is that we elected a public relations or presentation coordinator, or I'm not real sure exactly what the title was. I know that the person who grabbed it by the horn, and the region put a $9,000 budget in for them, and they've been attending conferences that has cost maybe $500 to $1,000 to some of these conferences to set up a table so that the public can learn more about Narcotics Anonymous. And from the reports that I hear this person give, they are reaching people who have never heard of Narcotics Anonymous that are way in the position of touching addicts' lives, probation officers, policemen,
nurses,
and all of that, and they have grabbed that by the horns and got it going. And you know, I'm not real positive what area you're in, Danny, but I know that the Wichita people have really stepped up and done some presentations with the our chairperson from the region. So that's where some of that money comes and goes, not just the money for insurance, but the money to let people know that Narcotics Anonymous is there, and if they do know, that we are alive and well. So that's all I got.
Thanks, Rod. Anybody else? I don't see any hands. Danny? Was that an accident, Danny?
Oh, I'm sorry. The technology. Can you hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. I just wanted to share a little bit about my experience with the seventh tradition, aside from whining about problems that there are. So, Matt, when you mentioned the principles, I wasn't really taught that way early in recovery to be so aware of the principles. So I really appreciate when people do point that out, because it is so important. So gratitude and humility. When I was used to mommy and daddy bailing me out any chance or every time I needed it, right? And so I never had to buckle down and get financially responsible and, God forbid, stable. So once I did have something that I don't know, that, like, when I bought my first piece of literature, like, not a basic text or the real essentials or the core, if you will, I was so proud of that. I was so proud that I bought that piece of literature and it was mine, and I knew it was going to help me And it was so much more precious to me. And that's, I don't think that's uncommon, that concept that like it means more if I had to pay for it myself. But I think that like as of lately in my recovery, a weird thing that I find with this idea of self-support is like there's an event that everybody's going to, and I would really love to go. But because of my circumstances, whether it's my fucking dumpster fire health or like not working, so finances are screwy, like they want me to come anyway, right? Like they want me to be there and be a part of. And I'm like, but listen, I'm no newcomer. You don't need to pay my way. And I don't know what's right, wrong, or indifferent in that specific situation. That idea of like, I've got a few 24s under my belt, so I feel like I shouldn't need that sort of help. But I can find gratitude incredibly quickly when I find that my people want me there and they want to help me and practicing accepting that. And letting them help me is a new kind of take on the self-support thing. But I am super fucking grateful for it. I also love the traditions workshops that you guys are putting on. I've missed the last couple. Really grateful I was able to hop on tonight. I love all of you. Thanks.
Thank you, Danny. I know there's a couple of you that haven't said anything.
Oh, Benjamin.
I'm Benteen. I'm an addict.
Ben.
Yes, thank you, Matt, for speaking. Thank you for having this on from the region. I love that we're doing this because it helps bring the traditions out there to everybody. That's, you know, but like Tim said, we're preaching to the same choir that most of us that are still here. I do honestly believe that sometimes what gets taken, why we hear the negativity towards the region and the area levels of, is because people aren't, they're, like it's been said, stirring the pot and not finding out. And then people take the ball and run with it without verifying that's what's actually going on. You know, yes, during 2020, the whole world shut down during 2020, and everybody hung on to everything that they possibly could have just because we didn't know what was going to happen next. And that started a little bit of a fire underneath the areas in the region, and they questioned what we were doing next. They seemed to forget that we passed on a huge chunk of money after that, to some extent, to sources. And maybe you're not quite where it's supposed to be, but we did pass to funding sources. The point being is that, like Daniel said, all of our subcommittees out there, our parties that we throw in region, are self-supporting for the most part. They all have proof reserves. They all have their own checking accounts. They take care of themselves. And then they help support us as a region. Majority of our money comes from those events, not necessarily from the groups. Is that correct, Matt? And so, you know, that's where we're at. That's how we support the think services that we get to be able to do. So please, if you do hear somebody saying something, hey, have you researched it? Have you asked somebody that's, you know, have you looked at the Treasurer's report? Have you looked at these things? Talk to Daniel, talk to me, talk to somebody, talk to the treasurer, talk to the treasury oversight at the regional level. We can answer those questions for anybody and everybody that would like those answers. I mean, and we are transparent about it because that's what we're supposed to do in Narcotics Anonymous. We're transparent about everything we do with our fellowship's money. So that's the part that I love about that. You know, we are transparent about it. We are not trying to hide nothing. We're not trying to do nothing else with this. You know, And yes, I'm a soapbox, but I do love that we are self-supporting and that I have many different options that I can do it. As a newcomer, I can do it simply by cleaning, you know, showing up and cleaning the halls and making coffee, to the point where I have my first job and I'm able to put a little money in the basket, to the point where I get to be able to be a service and get tagged along and be able to buy coffees, or, you know, be able to spend a night in a motel room and be able to do those things, you know. It's awesome. So, I mean, I love this program in Narcotics Anonymous. I love being service to this program. And I just love making sure that the doors are open for the addict that's still out there suffering that hasn't found it yet. I mean, that's my primary purpose, and that's why I give the way I give to Narcotics Anonymous. That's why I give both of myself and of my finances. So I do my home group. I do at all levels that I do. And I also have a monthly donation at World Services also that I provide also. So those are things that, you know, I do for myself, because I wouldn't be here today without Narcotics Anonymous in my life, period. I mean, that's all there is to it. So I think my life is worth about the few dollars that I put out every month. So glad you guys are all here. I love you all. That I pass.
Thanks, Ben. Vicki, you got your hand up?
I'm Vicki Manatic. I'm here to observe and learn and soak up as much as I can. I really appreciate all of your service for having this meeting. You know, there's a lot of experience here in this room that I don't have, but I can draw from you guys. And I really am taking notes over here. Just, you know, different things that I hear and questions that I have along the way that I can write down and follow up with people later. So I know that I like that, you know, Dani had pointed out that she didn't really know much about the traditions in early recovery, you know, and like that's all I was concerned about was the steps for a long time, you know, just the steps, just the steps, just the steps. I don't even think I read in the back half of my It Works How and Why book for, I don't know, maybe the first year even. So when I did get on that and started reading and just discovering how much more there was to consider, and it just all made so much sense to me. But, you know, like I said, I'm really here just to try to learn as much as I can and draw on your guys' knowledge. I've been, you know, I've done some step study meetings that include traditions, haven't been able to make it there for a long time, working traditions with my sponsor, and have been fully intend to work traditions with as many sponsees that will let me. And then, I don't know. I'm really, you know, just here and glad to be here to learn what I can. So that's it.
Thanks, Vicki. Bobby?
Hello, my name is Bobby and I am an addict. Hello?
We can hear you.
Okay. So one thing I have trouble and I struggle with, you know, and it directly stems from addiction and growing up, the I want more, and the every dollar has to see some sort of transactional value for me. I mean, I'm the person, I've learned by coming to enough meetings, I bring a dollar versus a $6 coffee, but I'm also have a bad habit of going somewhere and having to spend money and get something in return. I have not yet experienced that selfless gratitude that I should have for this program in just the free will donations more than that dollar. I'm trying to make sense of how it was portrayed to me, but I have an abundance of NA apparel and stuff and stuff and stuff and stuff. And just for the one day hope that my son passes on my wish to return all this stuff to Narcotics Anonymous. granted, he's going to be burdened with so much other stuff in my life that I hope that he follows through with this one thing that I felt I needed more of, just to see, like, the transactional. It has to be. I don't know why I'm addicted to the transactional aspect of my dollar, or my, you know, going to places and having to spend money and get something in return. But I think this is a great program. I thoroughly enjoy being a part of it. I'm glad this is being put on. I love each and every one of you, and happy holidays and God bless. Braxton says hi too.
Hey, kiddo. Thanks, Bobby.
Thank you, Dick.
Anybody else? We can call it quits if nobody else has got anything. Rich, you turned on your camera like you was going to say something.
I was. I'm Rich. I'm an addict. There's been several things that I would share that everybody else has said, so I won't repeat them. I like to add, at least in my personal life, along with fully self-supporting and paying my own bills, not mooch off people, you know, I've learned to take responsibility for my actions, and I consider that to be self-supporting. You know, if it served me well at work, especially, you know, and in my hell, in my marriage, everywhere, you know, if I do something wrong and I just admit it, I did that, you know, and how can I not do it again? You know, Danny was talking about not being able to afford to go to a function she wants to go to. I remember right after I got into rooms, people had went to the World Convention in Philadelphia, and they came back and they were so excited and it sounded so much fun. And I knew it was going to be 3 years till the next one. And I started a savings account right then and there with the sole purpose of having enough money to spend to go to the next World Convention. And I've never emptied that savings account. And I always have money to spend on the things I want to, because I started I started living or practicing that principle, you know, so I could be fully self-supporting, because I know how easy it is to get caught up in the day-to-day routine of expenses and bills and you know, living check to check. I try not to do that these days. Yet again, it's one of the things and principles that Matt's talking about, you know, that in my personal life, that it all started for something that was going on here in Narcotics Anonymous. And you know, it has served me well. So that's how I get to go to all those things. I make pretty decent money, but I don't make enough money to just take off whenever I feel like it. I have to plan accordingly, you know, vacations, functions, conventions. You know, I got a regional meeting four times a year, and I got a convention meeting once a month, and an extra day off work and an extra day at convention to be on that committee. You know, all that has to be planned ahead of time. And that's how I'm fully self-supporting. I try not to lean on somebody else to fulfill my obligations. That's all I got.
Thanks, Rich. Okay. This time of year always reminds me of when I was in active addiction and I was homeless. For whatever reason, you know, I was a drug addict and I decided that I needed to get high rather than go to jail. So I went on the run and I lived on the streets, and I remember, you know, like, squatting in this empty trailer house, and we stole electricity from the neighbors to light the lamp, so we could see the dope, and you know, not one of us thought about, like, you know, stealing the electricity to heat the house, you know. And so I know, like, that understanding of, like, I don't know how to do things appropriately. Like, I will, you know, blow my whole paycheck at Walmart before I pay my gas bill. It's that understanding that I need to learn how to do these things appropriately, and I need to learn how to budget. I need to learn how to do those things so that way I can be responsible, be accountable, and participate in life. That way my gas doesn't get shut off because I got a fancy new toy from the Walmart. So that's a simple thing for me for Tradition 7. You got 10 minutes, Kitty. Infinite, please. I gotta also support the little ones that can't seem to support themselves yet. Let me share my screen again. Okay, and as a reminder, our wonderful region does have lots of opportunities to be of service. The next RC is February 14th and 15th with subcommittee meetings Saturday and business meeting on Sunday. As you can see on the screen, there are many opportunities to get involved and serve the region. We could sure use your help to carry the message of NA throughout the region. Markna is coming faster than we can plan. It's the end of April in Topeka. And the next convention committee meets, I believe, Sunday. So if you wanted to get involved, you sure could. There's information here on the flyer, or it's on our Facebook group, or hopefully on our website. Campout is also needing help. I think they got artwork, but they're still needing people to volunteer to do things. Campout's in July, so you can jump in and get on the bus for planning that deal. Next month will be Tradition 8. We will meet on January 22nd at 7 o'clock. If you have feedback for the format of this meeting or would like to suggest possible speakers, please reach out to Daniel and let him know. That's me, Daniel. Thank you all again for attending. We hope to see you back here next month. Let's close this meeting with a moment of silence, followed by the third step prayer. Thank you. Many of us have said, take my will in my life, guide me in my recovery, and show me how to live. Thank you all.
Thank you all for being here for me.
Of course, Rod, we showed up just for you.
Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas, Rich. Happy Hanukkah. Yeah, happy Chanukah to you.
Yeah, Merry Christmas. See you guys.
Bye. See you, Matt.
See ya.
Hey, Matt.
Huh?
Did you get that room switched over for Freedom to Change?
No.
What the hell?
Who?
Now that it's too. Tomorrow. Now that it's probably too late to get one.
Well, we'll figure it out.
Are you wanting to go?
Well, we were going to share a room, and he had booked a king instead of two queens, and he was going to do that. This is only like a month and a half ago, so it is probably on his calendar for next week.
We're not reaching out to me sooner.
I'm the one that told you about it then.
I know, like a month ago instead of waiting a month and a half. I'll handle it tomorrow. Trust me, I'm persuasive.
They're probably got a phone line open right now.
Might even handle it tonight.
I was going to say, I mean, if I need to call and try to get a room, I'll figure that out. But no. Thought you had it.
Oh, they'll give you a roll away.
Couch, we can sleep together.
Yeah, me and you's on the floor then. Jan will be on the couch. You know how that works.
I'll call you tomorrow. I'll get it figured out.
Okay, and you mean I'll call you tomorrow?
No, I'll call you.
You may or may